Welcome to the Tool Shed, a podcast covering all levels of professional baseball to help give you the edge in your dynasty leagues. From the MLB draft all the way to the show, the Tool Shed podcast has you covered with rankings, player analysis, and in-depth discussion. And now, here's your host, Eric Cross.
Welcome into another episode of the Tool Shed podcast brought to you by Rotoballer. This is episode 406. Thank you for joining me. I'm your host, Eric Cross. You can find me on Twitter at EricCrossMLB, and the show is at ToolShedPod. Joining me in the Tool Shed this episode, making his Tool Shed debut, he is a fantasy baseball analyst and podcaster for Scout the Statline, Mr. Owen Hurd at Owen_FBB on Twitter. Owen, how's it going, bud?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me. This pod has been kind of a road trip favorite of mine in my trips back and forth to IU. So it feels almost first full circle from listening to a lot of these episodes and now being on the other side. So thank you so much for having me and looking forward to this one.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. How long the drive is that from Texas to Indiana?
16 hours. So split across 2 days, usually 9 and 7, something like that. And then a stop in Arkansas or Oklahoma.
Nice. Yeah, I got about an eight-hour drive upcoming. I'm going to visit some friends and family. I'm in Maine, and I got to go down to the Philadelphia, South New Jersey area. So I got to drive through New York City, which is always not enjoyable. But yeah, 8 hours, that's enough for me in one day. So doing it back-to-back days, man, that must be tough. But probably some good countryside and good views on that trip.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, other than kind of the spotty Wi-Fi sometimes, can't complain.
Yeah, nice. All right, we're going very hitter or all hitters this episode. Talking some intriguing young hitters, some recent hitting prospect promotions since the All-Star break. Haven't hit on some promotions in the last couple episodes due to other topics, but all hitters today. And the young hitters we're talking about, they're not going to be like that. We're not talking about Junior Caminero. We're not talking about Nick Kurtz, but some intriguing young hitters that are, you know, most of which are doing really well right now. So kind of got to talk about going dive into the profile, see what we like, what we don't like, if we're buying, selling, all that good stuff. But before we get into all of that, the usual housekeeping. If you enjoy the podcast, please rate and review. You can find all of my content either on Rotoballer or over on my Patreon, which is toolshedfantasy.com. And make sure you check out all of the great content over on Rotoballer with Rotoballer's MLB Premium Pass. Gain access to expert tools and advice from proven winners, import your leagues with TeamSync, and get expert advice customized for your league-specific settings. Win more with Rotoballer's lineup assistant tools, free agent finder, prop picks, and the number one DFS lineup optimizer. Our premium pass comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Go to rotoballer.com/radio and use that discount code TOOLSHED at checkout. All right, so we're starting off with six notable hitting prospect promotions since the All-Star break. Starting off with one of the more recent ones out of this bunch, CJ Cephas getting the call to the Cleveland Guardians and already has his first home run, hit that on Saturday. Off to a pretty solid start through his first seven games. He's a 7-for-23, you know, three doubles, one home run, five RBI already, 304, 333, 565 slash line. I think one of the more underrated bats in terms of like top 100 caliber guys in the minor leagues this year, looking at 14 home runs and 18 doubles total in 86 games, most of which were in AAA, with a pretty solid 300, 390, 539 slash line. So what are your thoughts here on CJ Cephas here, Owen? Again, a pretty underrated bat. You know, I think first basemen sometimes are underrated unless they're like the super sexy, you know, Nick Kurtz, Jack Caglione types, but definitely a pretty solid bat here, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Cephas has kind of been one that, you know, I tend to shy away from the kind of, you know, peak average power-ish, especially from a first baseman, especially from a pro side. But Cephas is a fun profile. You know, it's very kind of contact and OBP oriented, but the power definitely plays up a bit, does a great job lifting the ball, gets the barrel to the ball really well. So I think, I think kind of like you said, very solid bat. I don't think he's ever going to be like a top positional option, but I think this is a potential top 10 first baseman for fantasy, 15 to 18 home runs, good on base skills, solid contact. The chase rate has been a little high early on, 38.8%, but not really uncommon to see. I do think Cephas is a very solid, maybe not kind of star caliber, but kind of a reliable option at the first base position long term.
Yeah, and he looks like he might get some nice dual eligibility too, because he's kind of actually been splitting time with Cleveland so far between first base and right field, with Carlos Santana starting against, about half the time. Manzardo's still getting in there every now and then at first base. But over the last five games, Kafis was first base, right field, first base, right field. So maybe get some nice dual eligibility, like that Cody Bellinger type first base outfield eligibility. I think Kafis is, again, like he is, like, I think the epitome of the word solid. Like, doesn't stand out in any one area, but can just do, you know, a lot of things well. Obviously not a big speed guy, but he had a 47.5% hard hit rate in AAA, 11% barrel rate, 89-mile-an-hour average EV. Those don't, pop off the page at you, but that's like, average to, maybe a tick above average overall power. The contact rate did tick down a little bit this year from previous years, but nothing too concerning there. Doesn't strike out at a high clip or anything like that. Walks over 10% of the time. So maybe long-term, guy's hitting maybe around like 270, give or take, and upper teens, maybe gets into the low 20s home run some years. So not like a standout guy, not like a top five first baseman or anything like that. But maybe a back end first base, high end corner infield type for your fantasy team. So definitely a really solid bat.
Yeah. Now you mentioned the dual eligibility too, which is big. A Nate Lau type is kind of where I feel like I could see Kafis maybe better average, bit less power, but not somebody I think you're going to reach for in those kind of top, 100 picks, but maybe someone, if you kind of wait on that position or you're getting a corner infielder in the mid to late rounds, definitely a target there.
Yeah, no, that's definitely fair. All right. Next guy on the list, for a pretty different profile, guy that's been really up and down in terms of his stock in dynasty leagues. He kind of broke out a couple years ago. He was the talk of one of the buzzier prospects at the time, kind of fell off, but was making a resurgence this year. That's Jacob Marcy, formerly of the Padres, now with the Miami Marlins organization and starting regularly for them. He's been up for about a week now, or a week and a half, 10 games so far. He has 5 doubles, 1 triple, 1 home run, 5 steals, as many walks as strikeouts, 8 of each, with a nice little 448, 568, 793 slash line. I mean, this guy leads with his speed. He had how many steals was it this year? 51 last year, only caught 7 times, and 47 this year, been caught 13 times. So pretty efficient, great approach at the plate. Power, kind of leaves a little bit to be desired, but you definitely want him for his speed. So are you into Jacob Marcy? And what do you think about these guys, these kind of profile in general, where it's like leading with the speed and then the kind of a questionable bat? Are you kind of into those types of profiles in general?
Yeah, I mean, it's a profile for me. He's not somebody that I would want to draft as a starter, but I think with his OBP and speed, it's fine bench depth for me right now. The power is the really interesting part to me with Marcy. He hit 8 home runs between AA and AAA and 603 PAs in 24. It was 14 in AAA this year and 429 plate appearances. The EVs weren't great, 40 to 45 grade, but in the brief pro debut, small sample size here, but 92.4 average EV and a 52.4% hard hit rate. So I think the power is a big and tangible. I think the floor is definitely a bench depth caliber outfielder who can give you good OBP and speed. But I think if we're looking at a guy who can hit 15 home runs, that's a much different fantasy profile for Jacob Marcy. So I think I think there's definitely a ceiling here as kind of a starter caliber outfielder, but I think a lot of that depends on, is that power that he showed this year in AAA going to translate over? And early on it has, so definitely something I'll be watching.
Yeah, that's a huge difference between being like even just like a 12 to 15 homer guy or like a 5 homer guy. And yeah, Marcy definitely, he's not a zero power guy. Like you look at the metrics in AAA, and I said, pretty good contact rates. It was around 80% contact, around 85% zone. Average EV 87.3, 32% hard hit rate, 9% barrel rate. I mean, that's still, like you mentioned, kind of below average, but not a zero. Like he's not going to be like a 2 homer guy. I think he could be like a guy that's in the 10 to 12, maybe gets in the 15 range at times. And if he can just give you double-digit home runs with a respectable average, just give me 250 with 30-plus steals a year, that's pretty solid. Maybe it's like your outfield 4 or 5, not like one of the guys you build your outfield around. But still, like if you need some speed later in your drafts or your team, your dynasty team's looking to add some speed. You know, he's a guy you can still pretty get for a pretty, you know, low price tag. I don't think it's going to cost a lot to get him. So, yeah, I think there's some sneaky value here to be had.
Absolutely. Sure. I think it's he reminds me a bit of kind of a TJ Friedel type outfielder, bit better average, but maybe a guy who, you know, not going to be the flashiest outfielder by any means, but a guy where, you know, if you kind of wait on outfielder, he's not an atrocious third outfield option. More realistically, I think I'd be very happy with him as a, you know, 4 or 5, maybe a 250 bat with 15 home runs and 35 plus stolen bases. There's definitely some fantasy value there.
Yeah, Miami's starting to, I mean, they're still got a long ways to go, but they're starting to get some pieces here. Like, you know, Marcy's kind of intriguing. Obviously, Stowers has been beasting it up. Augustin Ramirez looks pretty good. You know, Edwards, they're starting to get somewhere, but
very interesting team.
Still have a long way to go, obviously. It's not like a studly lineup by any means, but, you know, I didn't imagine, you know, Stowers doing this, Marcy kind of coming up and, you know, having a resurgent year this year. So, yeah, Miami's starting to cook something there for sure. Maybe we will talk about another Miami guy a little bit later on in the episode. But for now, we go out west. Alex Freeland with the Los Angeles Dodgers. There's another guy who I think is pretty underrated. And he's finally getting a chance to play right now, getting some regular reps in that Dodgers infield. Not like off to the best start. He's 6-for-27 in his first 8 games. You get to hit an extra base hit, you know, or home run yet. 2 RBI, 3 walks to 9 strikeouts. But, you know, really solid year in AAA, 26 doubles, 12 home runs, 17 steals, caught 6 times, 75 walks, 200 Ks, 253, 377, 421 slash line, and also coming off an 18 homer, 31 steal year in 2024. Only was caught twice, too. Like, not a burner by any means, but very smart base stealer. You know, does have some solid speed, you know, good power. Solid bat to ball skills, gets on base, like not a guy that blows you away anywhere, but just does a little bit of everything across the board. But who knows, you know, obviously Owen with the Dodgers, that when, you know, when they're all healthy again, you know, where Freeland fits in. They're still trying to find, you know, regular reps for Dalton Rushing, who's obviously a more highly thought of prospect than Alex Freeland is. So what are your thoughts on Freeland? Are you looking to go after him, or are you kind of shying away given, you know, the organization he's currently in?
Yeah, I mean, Freeland is interesting because, you know, we know the kind of breakout 2024 he had. 2025 has still been a very good season, but I kind of feel like he's gone from a bit kind of properly rated to underrated because he hasn't kind of lit the world on fire like he did in 2024. But I think especially for fantasy, very friendly profile. I think the above average contact skills, good power, speed, good on base skills, ability to play all over the infield. So we could be looking at some dual eligibility there. Maybe kind of even third base, second base, and shortstop. The biggest question, definitely, like you said, is the playing time. I think in redraft, this is not really a player I'd be really interested in, you know, especially with how that lineup stacks up when once fully healthy. There are definitely some encouraging signs there. The chase rate at 17.5%, 90.2 average EV. I think he's definitely somebody I'd be looking to buy in Dynasty. I think next year when Max Muncy's a free agent, there is kind of a potential there that he'll get a rope to show he can hold down that role. But yeah, I'm interested in Alex Freeland. I think, you know, at worst, he's a solid regular type player for fantasy. I think that maybe if either the hit or the power can kind of separate a little bit more to a true kind of standout tool, I think we could be looking at a very good fantasy player.
Yeah, I think that potential is definitely there. And obviously, you know, we can't really go off of, you know, any of the metrics at the major league level yet. Too small of a sample size. But, you know, AAA this year, 48.5% hard hit rate, average EV close to 92 miles an hour. Barrel rate did drop a little bit, hitting too many ground balls. But, yeah, this is a guy that, you know, again, just does everything well across the board. 76% contact rate, you know, kind of like an average to above average guy pretty much everywhere. So maybe he turns into that next, you know, infielder that's going to play in multiple spots for the Dodgers, you know, maybe a little second, a little short, a little third, and, you know, maybe he can get value that way and get into the lineup enough. But yeah, it's hard to say with the Dodgers, because obviously any spot they open up, even if it's like third base, who's to say they don't go out and get a veteran to kind of plug in that spot? It's so tough with the Dodgers. They develop well, obviously better than maybe anyone else in the league, and they find talent better than anyone else in the league. But yeah, it's hard to get all these guys playing time. I want to see how that outfield glutton with that's coming up. You know, the Paulas, the Hopes, the Sorotas, Quintero. I want to see how that kind of plays out in a couple of years. That'll be really interesting. Yeah, and especially definitely. Especially if they're all still there. I mean, they'll probably trade at least one of those guys. You got to imagine. But yeah, still trying to get rushing is PAs. And then now Alex Freeland into the mix too. But yeah, I like Freeland. If you're not scared away by, you know, the uncertain kind of long-term playing time situation for him, you know, he's a solid prospect. So if you just want to look at the talent, this is a solid prospect and, you know, still a little bit underrated, I think. All right, let's go over to the Colorado Rockies. Keep it right in that National League West. They got a couple recent prospect promotions here. We got Kyle Karros, who was the most recent one. Came up a couple of days ago. And Warming Bernabeu, who came up, it was like early to mid part of last week. He's been hitting really well. We'll start with Warming Bernabeu here. He's been hitting pretty well so far, 13 games. He's got 5 doubles, 3 home runs, 346, 358, 654 slash line. Now, this is a guy that, you know, I remember, I think it was like 3-4 years ago. There was like a year, I want to say probably like 2021 or 2022, something like that, where Warming Bernabeu, he had a big year in like low A or something like that. And he really popped off, like up rankings. And you know, I think people had him as like a top 25, top 50 guy. I want to say he peaked at like maybe in that 50 range for me as well. And then he fell off hard. So he's kind of a guy that was almost out of sight, out of mind, you know, over the last year or two. But really kind of bounced back. Obviously, he's, you know, hitting well right now with the Rockies. Was having, you know, pretty solid year with AAA Albuquerque as well. 301, 356, 450 slash line there in 75 games, 18 doubles, 8 home runs, 5 steals, 23 walks to 39 strikeouts. Really weird profile, though, Owen, because, you know, he's hitting for home runs so far, and the quality of contact actually has been pretty solid so far. The quality of contact at AAA was absolutely terrible. It was 23% hard hit rate, 2% barrel rate, but it definitely has jumped up here with Colorado so far. At least to some degree, not like a lot, but better than it was. Weird profile, Owen. So where are you at on Warming Bernabeu? Are you kind of buying this early surge he has, or are you looking to maybe sell high if you can?
Yeah, I mean, it's not really my type of profile from a corner infielder. The above average contact doesn't strike out much, doesn't really take much walks. I don't really think the OBP is going to be there. I don't think he's ever had a walk rate in the double digits since hitting the upper minors. He's a solid runner, not much of a base runner. Like you said, the power metrics are just atrocious. Maybe playing in cores can get a little bit more out of that. But yeah, really I think there's some deeper league appeal, but it's really not my type of profile from a corner infielder. The one encouraging thing when I was looking at are his kind of home road splits. He's hitting 346, 346, 615 at home and 346, 370, 692 on the road. So smaller sample size, but I do think there is at least some kind of deeper league appeal here, especially if he can sustain those splits, unlike a lot of other Colorado Rockies hitters.
Yeah, no, that's definitely key for Colorado guys. But yeah, he's the contact skills are pretty solid with him. They always kind of have been, though. He is chasing an alarming rate so far. It's really weird. Like you don't see, usually see an 88% zone contact rate and a 42% chase rate at the same time. But, you know, granted, it's only 58 plate appearances. But yeah, he's chasing a super high clip so far, but making contact and, you know, quality contact is still below average, but definitely better than kind of the 30 grade numbers he was putting up in AAA. But even, I know he's got 3 home runs so far. I don't know, even at Coors full year, I struggle to see him being more than like a 50, maybe mid-teens. Like, I don't even see like 20. I mean, that could come with a, you know, solid average. But you mentioned he's never been a guy that walks a lot, so probably not a good OBP. So you're really banking on him. Like, if he doesn't get to that 15, 18 home run range, like, what's the peak? Like, 270, 275, 15, 18 home runs? And that could be fine, but that's peak. And so if it's 80% of that, he's 255 with 10 home runs. Not really doing it for me.
Yeah, I think even 15 to 18 is probably more on the generous side of his power. The power metrics, sure. The power metrics have been a little bit better in the majors than they have in AAA. I mean, obviously, we'll see kind of how those go going forward. The hard hit rate is up about 10%. It's 32.6 from 22.8. The barrel rate is still atrocious. He does lift the ball fairly well, but the EVs aren't good. I think. I think he's a fine real life player, but for fantasy, just it's not a profile I'm interested in from a corner infield. I think realistically, a 12 home run peak is probably what I'd put him at. I would agree with the average part. I mean, we'll see kind of how the chase rate looks over a bit more of an extended sample, but I think the hit tool is maybe a 50 to 55. And when it's something like that with very minimal power and then not much speed, not much OBP for fantasy, it's just a profile that, you know, you can probably just ride out the hot streaks in deeper leagues, but in shallower formats, I'm really not interested.
Yeah. Pretty much right there with you for sure. This next guy I'm not like running out to get him, but I'm at least a little bit more intrigued with Kyle Karros than I am with Warming Burnham long-term. You know, kind of, again, not a super buzzy profile with Karros. There's not like huge power here, but this is just a really good pure hitter. Like, look at every level of the minors. You know, he's had a contact rate either like upper 70s%, low 80s%. You know, this year, he was at right around 77% this year overall. You know, doesn't strike out too much, gets on base at a solid clip. You know, this year, 301, 398, 476 in 75 games in the minor leagues, six home runs, seven steals, 12.7% walk rate, and an 18.4% strikeout rate. You know, but this is not, I mean, he's, I think he's got a little bit more power potential than Warming Burnabell. But at the same time, you know, it's not like it's going to be, I don't think, 25 homer. I mean, he's maybe got, it's like 15 to 18, I think. He had a 40% hard hit rate, AAA, 89 mile an hour average EV. You know, those are solid for sure. And I can see him, you know, kind of running into 20 home runs over a full year. But, you know, this is a guy that's just, I feel like he's like a, this is not like a perfect comp, like a infield Brian Reynolds maybe is like the best case scenario here for Kyle Karros. But it looks like he's like both him and Burnabell are going to get regular run here for Colorado down the stretch, which I think is the right call for Colorado. Start getting these young guys up, you know, late in the season, see how, you know, what you got in them. Burnabell's been starting at first base, and Karros, the last three games over at third base. So what do you think of Kyle Karros? You intrigued by him at all?
Yeah, I'm slightly intrigued. I think in a lot of ways, he's kind of a poor man, CJ Kafis, a contact OBP oriented corner infield profile. Maybe some power there. The EVs and hard hit rate in AAA weren't terrible. Just doesn't lift the ball well. The ground ball rate is a little higher than you'd like to see from somebody at that position. But yeah, there's definitely some intrigue here for me. I think you could be looking at a 15 home run hitter per season around peak. Bit underrated in my opinion, but I think I kind of share some of the same sentiment that I do with Burnabell. Just personally, not really my type of corner infield profile, but I do think there is some value here, especially in OBP leagues.
Now, are you higher on Karros or Burnabell going forward?
Karros for me is probably he was borderline top 100 for me in my last update. Definitely a profile I like. I think his contact skills are better than Burnabell's, and he does have a bit more power, like you mentioned. So, yeah, definitely a bit higher on Karros. I like the Reynolds comp. I'm not sure I quite see that much power, but from a kind of OBP, maybe a solid, not spectacular fantasy player type perspective, I do think Karros could that could be upside for Karros.
Yeah, I think, you know, poor man's rental is probably a better way to put that. But yeah, I had Karros. I didn't have him top 100. Where did I have him? I want to say like 140. Let's just see how close I am. 153 in my August update. So I think that's pretty fair. Like 100 to 150 range for him. You know, kind of hard to, you know, go like top 50 on him, just given the upside isn't, you know, overly high. But yeah, I think he's really solid, high floor type of guy. And I think he could maybe be a guy that kind of sneaks up and surprises some people, because, and he was surprising me. Like when I started ranking him higher, it was like last year, and I was like, oh man, like it was like mid season. I'm like, hey, he's kind of having a sneaky good year. And he's kind of been steadily turning up my rankings ever since then. So sneaky good guy. Yeah,
definitely. Sure. I think a lot definitely like depends on the powers. Like kind of like we talked about, you know, not a huge sample in AAA, but the PCL is not a hard place to hit. You know, still weren't really seeing him lift the ball as well as I'd like. So, yeah, I think a lot of that definitely kind of a, you know, what kind of power are we getting from him? But I think if you can get to that 15-ish home run range, there's definitely some good fantasy value there.
Absolutely. All right, last prospect promotion we're talking about here, which I think is the most recent one here. Drew Gilbert getting called up by the San Francisco Giants. You know, obviously came over from the New York Mets at the deadline. You know, this is his third system. He was drafted originally by the Houston Astros back in 2022. You know, never had the gaudy numbers, but always been a pretty solid, you know, year in, year out guy. You know, he had 18 home runs, 12 steals 2 years ago. Last year was limited due to injury, but had 10 home runs in 62 games, but only hit 205. But this year, back to being healthy, pretty solid 262, 369, 466 slash line, 20 doubles, 14 home runs, 6 steals, 50 walks to 66 strikeouts in 93 games between AAA for the Mets and the Giants. You know, Gilbert, I think probably more highly ranked than most of the guys we've talked about so far. Any intrigue here with Drew Gilbert, Owen?
Not a ton. I think he's kind of a solid average tools across the board type of outfielder, maybe a 15-15 type. He's a gritty player. I did see him in person with Houston, you know, easy guy to root for. Yeah, the EVs did take a step forward in AAA. It was 85 average to 88.9 average between 24 and 25 with the Mets. Hard hit rate up about 10%. I think he's got a floor as just a big league fourth outfielder. I'm not sure. I think I would like to see kind of either the hit or the power develop a little bit further before I think he's anything more than that for me. But I do think there's some appeal here in deeper leagues. You know, may not stand out in any particular category, but maybe a guy who can give you a little bit of everything, maybe a 270 hitter, 15 home runs, 15 stolen bases, decent OBP, some speed. I think Gilbert is probably in that top 175 ish range for me. So probably around that Karros range. It's going to be interesting to see. Definitely a downgrade in the park going to Oracle, very, very hard place to hit, but definitely interested in the power gains this season, solid contact rates. So we'll see. I think for now the floor is fairly high, and I think, you know, we'll have a better idea of what the upside is once we see a bit more of him at the big league level.
Yeah, Gilbert's a guy I had also similar to the Karros range. I have him about 15, 20 spots higher. He's around 135 for me overall. But yeah, he's a guy that, you know, you put him in like the most neutral of neutral parks, he's probably like a 15 to 20 homer guy, I feel. But now that you mentioned going to Oracle, which has always been pretty hard on lefties, unless you're, you know, that Barry Bonds fella or, you know, Rafael Devers, and have like really big left-handed power. You know, I think it tends to limit these like middle of the road, like average kind of power guys, which is pretty much what Gilbert is. I mean, you know, the power was decent enough. It was around an 89 mile an hour average EV in AAA. 38% hard hit rate, 7% barrel rate, you know, nothing that jumps out at you, but not terrible either. So, you know, it could be a, you know, more of a 12 to 15 homer guy now. I think he's still double digits over a full year. And I think he'll give you, you know, double digit steals as well, but I feel like he's limited in that kind of power speed department. So it's not like an overly, you know, sexy player to go after, but should hit you for a decent average, good OBP. So if he can hit you 270, you know, 275, you know, 350, 360 OBP, something like that to go with, you know, double digit home runs and steals, that's still useful. But you know, I'm not like, I guess you can, you know, kind of sense the tone of my voice, not like super exciting, not that I want to like really go after, but
yeah,
kind of fits in like that similar range to like, you know, the Warming Burnabell is the Kyle Karros says, well, they'll have some value. You'll probably roster them, especially in like deeper leagues, but I don't think there's ever going to be a time where you're like, oh, Kyle Karros is my starter at third, or, you know, Drew Gilbert's my outfield three or anything like that. So
yeah,
kind of a limited upside in that regard.
Yeah. Gilbert was interesting because when he was with the Mets, kind of, you know, there was kind of a comp for his upside in that same organization, that being Brandon Nimmo was kind of one that I threw around, you know, probably not peak Nimmo, but maybe kind of, you know, average season Nimmo, where maybe you're looking at a 20 home run guy, decent enough average, solid on base, some speed. So yeah, Gilbert's interesting. I think for now, like you said, probably a limited to a deeper league option for me. Not somebody I definitely wouldn't mind in five outfielder leagues as maybe a fifth outfielder or a bench outfielder, but I'm just not sure the upside is much higher than that.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty much right there with you on that. Based on hundreds of millions of real-world tests, the experts at Ookla Speedtest have spoken. T-Mobile is now the best mobile network in America. So you can keep up with all the MLB action from the ballpark to the backcountry because they've got the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. Oh, and did I mention the largest satellite-to-mobile network? They're way ahead making sure that fans experience every pitch, play, and post-game moment. So whether you're streaming the game out and about, checking stats on the road, or experiencing ballpark perks with Magenta status, you're ready to stay connected wherever your fandom takes you. Head over to T-Mobile.com/network to switch to the best network. For baseball fans, it's better over here. Based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence, data first half 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. All so that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, so let's go over to some intriguing young hitters here. We got six more here, starting with another guy that was promoted back in June. So he's a rookie like a lot of these other guys we've talked about so far. That's Colson Montgomery with the Chicago White Sox, who had another home run today, his ninth of the season. Now slashing 238, 310, 543 in his first 117 plate appearances with the White Sox. You look at a Savant page, it is very hot and cold. I feel like I should be hearing that Katy Perry song pop up when I go to his Savant page. Kind of like, you know, I don't know if you remember MySpace, Owen, but the profile page, like your profile song, it would pop up. But yeah, very hot and cold for Colson Montgomery. Quality of contact has been pretty solid so far. 14% barrel rate, 43% hard hit rates. So he's hitting the ball hard. You know, bat speed's pretty high up there. You know, high sweet spot rate. X slugs 537, X wOBA pretty high as well. But then the rest of the profile, you know, leaves a little bit to be desired. You know, higher 28% strikeout rate, zone contact rates below average at 78%, higher chase rate, you know, lower overall contact rate around 66%, which is kind of like what we kind of thought Montgomery was going to be and what he was kind of showing in the upper minors, where it's like, all right, good power, strikes out a little too much, contact rates kind of dipped in the upper minors compared to where they were in the lower minors. He's going to get plenty of run with that White Sox team. And I think this could be a 25 homer bat, but you know, maybe I guess I could hit you more than 230 or so. So I don't know. I've never been a big Montgomery guy, but I don't know. Maybe you are. What do you think here on Montgomery?
Yeah, I'll preface this like you. I've also kind of been a lower guy on Colson. The pull rate is good, 45.5, 50% fly ball rate. I'm a bit more optimistic about the power than I was kind of coming up. The EVs are average, strong launch angles and barrel skills, though. My concern right now is that I think that the floor is that he's a one-tool player for fantasy. The contact rates aren't good, like you mentioned. The whiff rates by pitch are also really bad, 23.1% on fastballs, 45.5 on breaking, and 54.8 on off-speed. Swing strike rate north of 17%, doesn't really get on base. The K rate is north of 31% AAA. He's a below average runner, hasn't really kind of carried those stolen bases that we saw in the lower levels or that we thought he would be speed-wise in the majors. Yeah, I mean, he's probably somebody I would be looking to sell right now in a lot of formats. I'm right there with you on the average. I think the strikeouts are always going to be a hinder. I don't think the OBP skills are ever going to be good. It's just not really a profile that I'm really looking to bet on long term. And I do think that, you know, the value now, 9 home runs in the past 12 or 13 games, I believe, is a lot higher than it was kind of, you know, pre-call-up or kind of in AAA. So he is somebody that I would be looking to capitalize on in a lot of formats.
Yeah, I think he's a really good sell right now because he's always kind of had that top 100 prospect pedigree about him, maybe even higher. I think there's sometimes he was probably ranked like top 25, top 50 for some people. And I think that still kind of sticks in the back of people's minds, even though it was a couple of years ago. But, you know, the fact that he's always kind of been around and you know, top 100-ish of a lot of people's rankings, whether it be like the sites or individual analysts like you and I. But I don't think, again, I just don't think you're going to be having Montgomery as your starting shortstop, like ever.
Yeah.
Maybe he gets like starting middle infield territory, or maybe middle corner infield, depending on where he ends up long-term. But again, I think he could be a 25 homer guy. I definitely do. Like power, good angles, as you mentioned, but I just don't see him ever hitting more than like 230, 240, which really limits the overall value.
Yeah. I think, you know, even now, I mean, I would take someone like Matt McClain higher than him. At least he'll give you the speed. He'll still get the Ks, and the average is not going to be great. I'd even take someone like Ezekiel Tovar, who hasn't kind of lit it up quite like Montgomery has, but has made some noticeable strides, especially in the contact and K regards over Montgomery. I mean, it's just, you know, like we were talking about before, I think the ceiling is, you know, a kind of 2024 Mark Vientos type season. Not bad at all. Maybe somebody who could get into that kind of top 150 overall, maybe even a little higher value wise, but it's really just not a profile that I'd be looking to bet on in a lot of formats, especially with fantasy, just because of the holes that he's going to be in a lot of those other categories.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm definitely there with you. I can't get in. I've never been a Montgomery guy. I just, even now, yeah, it's great. He's hitting home runs. I have zero shares of him, but I just don't see it sustaining. I mean, he's going to a pretty big slump at some point just because of those contact skills, you know, the chase rate and all that. So, yep, not my cup of tea, that's for sure. This next guy, though, definitely looking to get it, you know, buy this guy. I do have one share of this guy. Would love to have another share, too, because he's not a guy that I have as a top 10 third baseman. That's Addison Barger with the Toronto Blue Jays, who have, you know, really good year up there in Toronto. First place in the AL East. See if they can hold on to that. But, you know, the resurgence of Bo Bichette's been a big reason why, but also the emergence of Addison Barger, who has been kind of sneakily one of like the better young hitters in the game. You know, still only 25 years old, you know, hitting 267, 318, 511, 18 home runs, three steals in 360 plate appearances. And, you know, surprisingly, he was never a huge power guy, always a, you know, average above average power guy, but he's become like one of the better quality of contact guys in the league right now. 53.7% hard hit rate, 93 mile an hour average EV, barrel rate right under 13%. Not a big walk rate guy, but man, bat speed's there. He hits the ball hard. You know, some of the contact skills, chase rates, all that aren't the greatest, but also not like really terrible either. Not like any major red flags there. Just, you know, kind of limit him to some degree. But hey, he's been hitting the ball hard all season, and I'm buying in. Like, I think this could be, you know, maybe not a top five third baseman, but I think he can stick as like a, you know, that 8 to 10 range at this third base spot. Especially how it really drops off after the top couple of tiers. You get like past like third base 9 or 10, gets into a lot of like the older guys, some of the more questionable guys. So I think he's here to stay as a top 10 third baseman. What do you think, Owen?
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree with you. And I'm actually a little higher on Barger. I really don't think the gap is all that big between him and somebody like Jordan Westberg in that kind of tier two of dynasty third baseman. You mentioned the power metrics. He pairs that with a 93rd percentile bat speed. He's making solid contact, like just under 87% zone, 77.4 overall. He's hitting all pitch types, fastballs, breaking, and off speed, respectively, with elite EVs and good slugging against all. Doesn't really stand out for speed, but I think you could be looking at a 25 to 30 home run, 10 plus stolen base guy for fantasy. Probably not Westberg's average in OBP, but I really think it's arguable where I want to say he's five or six overall, either right ahead of Westberg or right behind Westberg in my last kind of dynasty third base rankings. You mentioned the walk rate. I would like to see that improve a little bit, but entering this year, haven't seen a whole ton of him, a little over 200 PAs, I want to say, at the MLB level. So definitely some time for that to improve, but especially in a weak position. Yeah, I do think he could. I do think the upside is a borderline top five dynasty third baseman.
I mean, yeah, he definitely could be, especially like if, like, Austin Riley hasn't really been great, and if, you know, Rafael Devers is going to lose eligibility. So, yeah, he might actually, you know, that I'm kind of thinking it through a little bit more. Some of those guys ahead of him, you're going to lose Devers from the third base spot unless San Fran gets crazy and throws him back at the hot corner, which is not happening. And then Riley, I mean, I'd still take Riley over him, but, you know, is there that large of a gap between Riley and Barger anymore? I mean, coming into the year, it would have been crazy to say that, right? But, like, at this point, Riley, you know, hasn't been bad, but he's kind of been just like okay the last like 2 years now. And then Barger, I think overall, I have to look compared to the number. He's probably having a better year if you look at just numbers side by side. So
So these are from my midseason dynasty rank. So I've got Junior, J Ram, Machado, Riley, 1 through 4. Then Barger right after that, one spot ahead of Maikel Garcia. I've kind of gone back and forth about that one. And then Matt Shaw at 7. He'll definitely move up a bit for me. Bregman, Paredes, Vientos, 8, 9, and 10. So definitely a little higher on Barger, but I do kind of, you know, with all those guys from after the kind of Austin Riley, I kind of wonder, like, I really do think Addison Barger is in that same tier. Definitely doesn't have the track record of some of those other guys, but looking at it this year, his power, solid contacts, I think there's double digit stolen base potential there. I kind of think he's right in the same tier as some of those guys in the kind of back end of that top 10, 6 through 10.
Yeah, he's definitely been like a ray of sunshine this year at the hot corner, which has had a rough year. Like third base, second base have gotten really kind of weird this year. It's been a lot of injuries, a lot of poor performances from the top guys. Obviously not Joe Ram. You know, Joe Ram is Joe Ram, and he always will be. But yeah, nice little emergence here from Addison Barger. And we're both buying into it, it sounds like. So saw some catchers, though. A couple of fun National League East rookie catchers here in Drake Baldwin and Augustine Ramirez. We'll start with Baldwin here, 24 years old, having a really solid year. And he's finally getting regular, like consistent everyday playing time between catcher and DH. He was kind of splitting time with Murphy once Murphy came back from injury, but now getting in some DH reps as well, which is awesome. 289, 357, 477 slash line in 294 plate appearances for Baldwin, 13 home runs so far. And also, you know, kind of like Barger, up there in terms of quality of contact, not quite as high as Barger, but it's 11.5% barrel rate, 49% hard hit rate, and an average EV over 91 miles an hour. I mean, Baldwin's a guy that I got turned on to last year, where, you know, he was having a really good year under the hood. Like, you know, stats were good, but not like great on the surface. But you looked at it, I was like, man, this guy's just hitting the ball really hard. And I saw him a couple times out in Arizona in the fall league. I'm like, man, even his outs were just like, everything was loud. So I'm like, all right, this is a legit bat. And he's starting to prove that now. And he's getting up there in that discussion where you got to really think long and hard about him as a top five dynasty catcher at this point in time, especially how, you know, like Adley's kind of falling off. Yiner Diaz has fallen off. A lot of the top guys this year at catcher have fallen off. So, yeah, Baldwin and Ramirez will get here to here in a second. On the rise in a hurry. I'm buying in fully on Baldwin. How about you, Owen?
Yeah, I absolutely agree there. I think definitely the buying window, even though he's been very, very good for a rookie, strong power metrics, strong contact, dude just hits. I think splitting time with Sean Murphy, there's still I don't really think that, you know, kind of the dynasty value for Drake Baldwin has gotten to where it should be from a performance standpoint. But this is somebody that, yeah, I'm fully buying in. I do think that the kind of the Murphy Baldwin playing time split will work itself out, whether that's Marcell Ozuna leaving this offseason or something like that. But I do think Baldwin is an everyday caliber catcher. I think I'd probably take him slightly above Ramirez right now. But yeah, I really like Drake Baldwin. I do think kind of, yeah, I think, you know, like you mentioned, I'd definitely take him above some of those catchers who have fallen off a bit, Adley, Yiner. And I do kind of think that, you know, I do kind of wonder after Kyle Raleigh and Will Smith, is there really any other catcher that I would take over Drake Baldwin?
Yeah, at this point, you have to have that discussion, right? Because, yeah, catcher, obviously, you know, Kyle Raleigh, number one, like there's no doubt in my mind. And then you get Will Smith, and then you can, you know, throw like, obviously Sammy Basayo up in there. But is he a catcher long term? Who knows? So that's kind of, you know, who knows on that one. But then, yeah, it's like a big cluster. Like I have only two guys in my top 100 for catchers are Raleigh and Smith. I have Raleigh at 26, Smith at 70. And then there's a massive cluster in like the 100 to 200 range, you know, with Ramirez and Baldwin, like Ivan Herrera, though he's probably going to lose catcher eligibility long term. You know, Hunter Goodman, you know, William Contreras, Adley's still in there. You know, Baldwin, and then Yiner Diaz holding on by a thread. Then Langoliers is there as well. But it's like a massive, you could say all those guys are in the same tier. I don't think any one of those guys separates himself from the rest. You know, maybe Contreras does it if he gets back to, you know, last year. He's been dealing with an injury this year. But yeah, it's kind of been a kind of a changing of the guard at the top a little bit here and in that top 10 this year. Yeah, and Baldwin, I mean, if someone said, hey, I have Baldwin as my C3. In dynasty, I really wouldn't scoff at it. You know, it might be a little high, but I could see it. You know, a rookie catcher who's, you know, hitting well, you know, contact, power, approach, you know, it's all there. There's no glaring red flags in the profile. Does everything well, you know, impacts the ball really well, doesn't chase too much. Like everything's pretty, you know, good or better with Drake Baldwin. And in fact, he's been hitting, you know, third right now for Atlanta, like right in the middle of. No, it's still a good lineup. I know they've been kind of weird up and down with their offense this year, but that's still a good spot to be hitting in right now, behind Profar and Olsen, in front of Ozuna and Harris, who's finally finding his way at the plate. And obviously when Acuna, when he's back healthy, is in there as well. So getting right in the middle of a pretty good top six for Atlanta. It's a good lineup spot there for Baldwin too. So I like Baldwin a lot.
Yeah, I don't even think we're seeing kind of the peak of Baldwin's fantasy value, because the walk rate, the OBP is just under 360, despite an 8.5 walk rate. Not bad at all, but we're looking at a guy who was just over 13.5% walk rate between two levels of the upper minors, and 24 and 23. So I really like Baldwin. I think really you could be looking at a 25 home run catcher, high 300s OBP, really good contact. I think really just, as a bat first catcher, that is kind of the standard that you want. And I think Baldwin definitely hits that.
Yep, for sure. I like this next guy too, Agustin Ramirez. Not quite as high of an average OBP as Baldwin, but the power is definitely there. 237, 283, 444 slash line so far in 399 plate appearances with 17 home runs and even 7 steals. You know, kind of a sneaky little speed guy here. Not a big speed guy by any means, but he's always been a guy that runs a little bit too. He's always shown that willingness to, steal some bags. So maybe he's a guy that gives you 8 to 10 steals annually as well. Just a nice little cherry on top of the power. But, like I said, lower average and OBP upside than Baldwin, I think, but just as much power, maybe even a higher power ceiling. Ramirez is another guy I got turned on to a couple years ago when he came up through a Double-A with the Yankees. I mean, he was having a good year in the Eastern League, and then he had a series here in Portland where I think he had in that 6-game series, 9 or 10 hits, 3 or 4 home runs. He was just beasting out. And I was like, man, this guy looks legit. And yeah, he's been kind of beasting out ever since then. Upper minors now as a 23-year-old rookie catcher, could have a 25-10 year as a catcher, which is something I don't think we've ever seen. If I remember correctly, a 25-10 rookie year from a catcher, but pretty fun profile, but a little more downside here than Baldwin. So where are you at on Ramirez in general? And actually, which one of these two guys do you like more going forward between him and Baldwin?
Yeah, no, I really like Ramirez. I feel like after he kind of got traded to the Marlins, he kind of lost some of that shine, even though from a performance standpoint, he didn't have a drop off at all. I think that maybe that potential stigma around the Marlins, but the EVs have actually gotten better between AAA and the majors. Hard hit rate up slightly. The expected batting average and expected slugging are both 40 to 50 points higher than his actual expected weighted OBA, just over 40 points higher than his weighted OBA. So I do think that I think he is a better hitter for average and a better on base guy, higher walk rates in the upper minors too, than he's shown so far in the majors. So I do think that, looking at from a performance standpoint this season, it's kind of clearly Baldwin, but when you look at it from a skill set standpoint, and that, yeah, Ramirez isn't going to be a net negative in OBP. He'll give you slightly more power. Contact skills might not be quite what Baldwin's is, but not bad at all by any means. Both are probably going to be back to back to me when I do my kind of next dynasty ranks. I do think I'd favor Baldwin slightly right now, but I do think it's very much a coin flip and could go either way.
Yeah, I favor
Ramirez is big.
Yeah, I love Ramirez. I mean, I like Ramirez slightly more. They're going to be really close in my next rankings too. I think they're both potential top five guys long term here. And I think maybe you give this hot edge to Baldwin long term in OBP format. But yeah, you mentioned the contact skills are with Ramirez. You don't match up with what's the average? 237. Yeah, it's 85. Where to go? 85.5% zone contact, and around 74% overall. Those are pretty solid metrics here. It's around average overall contact and above average in zone contact. So it does chase a little bit too much, 33.5%, but that's not terrible. It's only about 5% worse than league average, so nothing majorly concerning there. But yeah, the fact that you can get a 25-10 caliber catcher with Ramirez, who should be more than a 237 average, 283 OBP guy. Yeah, I like Ramirez a lot. I've been on the Ramirez train for the last 2 years now. Same with Baldwin. These guys, after seeing them, really kind of made me open my eyes to how good these bats really are. So, yep, I am 100% buying both of Agustin Ramirez and Drake Baldwin. Let's keep it right on the Miami Marlins for, maybe you could argue the, at least in the running for the biggest breakout of the 2025 season. That's Kyle Stowers. came over from the Baltimore Orioles in a trade last year. Already has 25 home runs, 5 steals in 441 plate appearances with a pretty good 285, 364, 541 slash line. I mean, this is a guy that you could have gotten for, you know, cheap or even picked up off the waiver wire before the season started, because there was really not a lot of value. He's an okay prospect, never a highly ranked prospect. And last year in 209 plate appearances, slash 208, 268, 333. So, yeah, value was pretty low on Sauer's entering this year, but now I have him top 100 overall. I never thought I'd rank Sauer's top 100 overall, but are you buying into the Sauer's breakout here, Owen?
Yeah, I mean, I would say at least to an extent. I was definitely wrong about him in May, just those kind of mid-70s zone contact, high swing strike rate, high whiff rates against against all pitches. Profiles kind of scare me, especially when it's a very power-dependent profile. But the EVs have stepped up. The barrel rate is, I want to say, nearly doubled from last year. So it is really elite power. I think a lot of kind of where I'm at, where if I'm kind of buying or selling, is going to be kind of the cost this offseason. I do kind of have the kind of Mark Vientos still kind of fresh on my mind from last year. The whiff rates are also fairly high, 31.5 on fastballs, 32 on breaking, 41.7 on off speed, 77% zone contact. It's not terrible, but I don't think it's indicative of a guy who's going to sustain the average he's putting up long-term. Swing strike rate just above 16.5%. I'm kind of wait and see. I mean, this is definitely he's been a big breakout this year. I think, is he somebody that I would take kind of top 75 overall in drafts next season? I'm kind of a little bit skeptical about that.
Yeah, I'm kind of there with you, because, you know, I've written about him several times, both on, like, Rotoballer and on my Patreon, where the power's legit. Like, there's no kind of denying that. You look at the metrics, 18.5% barrel rate, 52% hard hit rate. Like, everything's good in terms of quality of contact. But yeah, I have a hard time, like, fully buying into 74.5% zone and 66.5% overall contact. I mean, he doesn't chase too much, which is decent. I mean, if he had like a higher chase rate, which he's actually dropped it about 4.5% from last year, that's solid. K rate's come down about 5% from last year, or 7% actually from last year. Walk rate's up about 4%. So some nice improvements there. I still don't think he's a 285 hitter. I think they kind of said like 250, 260, but if he can get 250, 260, you know, like a 330, 340 OBP and 30 plus home runs, maybe it's a, maybe not Nick Castellanos type, as he had a higher average back in the day, but hey, even if it's 250 and 25, that's still, you know, solid. And anything more than that, you could be looking at a top, you know, top 100 guy year in, year out. But I don't think I'm going any higher on Sauer's. I think I had him like in the 90s. I don't see like a top 50 guy, unless he makes some contact gains and they make me feel better about that average and OBP sticking higher. But I think the power's legit, 30 plus home run power. He's kind of shown that, and should be hitting in the middle of that Miami lineup for the foreseeable future. So I guess I'm not a sell. I mean, I can see both ways with sell or buy with Sauer's. Like, if you have him and you got him for cheap and you're like, hey, I just want to hold on, enjoy the ride, I'm fine with that. If you want to see, I mean, some deadlines have already passed in fantasy leagues, but if you want to just kind of throw him out there on the block, especially if you're not contending and you want to see what you can get for him, I'm fine with that too. So I guess it really depends on what someone in your league is willing to pony up to get him. But
I guess to give you like more of an answer, I'm probably more lean, opportunistic sell, like you mentioned.
Yeah, that's fair.
Waiver wire flyer at best via trade kind of add this offseason. And I kind of worry. I think, you know, this is a guy, if I'm looking at a startup dynasty draft right now, am I taking this guy top three rounds? And it's like, I don't think so. I mean, he's 27. I don't really see kind of any significant changes to the profile. Maybe the contact gets a little better as he faces more MLB pitching, but I think it's kind of a, you know, if it was a power speed guy, I'd have a much different view. But, you know, I think I kind of wonder, like, you know, what the floor is. And I think the floor is really, really low. So I think I would definitely lean more on the opportunistic sell right now. If you can get a more complete fantasy player, I would be looking to do that.
Yeah, no, that's totally fair. I mean, I have him in the same tiers. Like, let's see, Willier Abreu's in this range for me. Andy Páez, Tyler Soderstrom, Heliot Ramos, you know, kind of kind of those types where it's
I think if you look at Kyle Stowers right now, he has a higher trade value than all 4 to 5 of those guys.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It, with how buzzy he is right now, 100% does for sure. All right, last name here, Luke Kuechel. I mean, he's kind of the talk of the town right now with how he's come back from injury. The last, what's he been back for, 4 or 5 games? Five games back, and he has 10 hits in those 5 games, 2 home runs. He had 4 games with multiple hits, had 3 hits today on Sunday, including a home run. Was a triple short of the cycle. I mean, I had people in my comments saying that he should be like number 1, 2, 3 dynasty second baseman right now, which I'm like, okay, I like him and all, but that's let's calm down a little bit here. He's been back for not even a week. So, but a lot of buzz here. And that's not to say that there's not a lot of talent here. Kuechel's always been a really, really good, solid prospect, like never like a top 25 guy, I think, for a lot of people, but it's a guy that I had top 50 last update. Obviously, he'll be going up higher than that now. He's always had pretty good years. Like, look at last year, 303, 420, 483 slash, 15 home runs, 23 steals. You know, year before that, 288, 414, 477. That was just 31 games, but, always had, one of the better, contact approach blends in the minor leagues, with good speed and some power here, too, like 15. 18 homer type power. So, could he be a, 15 plus, 20 plus guy with a high average MLBP? I think that definitely that outcome is in the card. Like, that's definitely a possible outcome. And that would put him, that would put him top 3, at this position if he gets there. But a lot of buzz right now on Luke Kuechel. Owen, are you buying the buzz and the hype right now?
Yeah. I mean, second base, like, it's kind of an absolute crapshoot once you get out of the Ketel Marte. Jackson Holliday, there's players that wouldn't even be top 20 in other positions. So, yeah, I mean, I don't even think right now top 5 dynasty second baseman is completely unreasonable. Yeah, very small sample size, but I think we just kind of have to remind ourselves just how shallow this position is. I do kind of wonder, like, is kind of 15 to 18 home runs more on the higher end with Kuechel? The EVs haven't been spectacular. The hard hit rate is just under 33% in AAA, just over 35% in the majors. Barrel rate isn't atrocious, 8.8, but not really what you would expect, what you would kind of get with a kind of low 20-ish home run hitter. Contact skills are really good, though, just under 91% AAA. I do think this is a potential guy who can be a close to or even 300 hitter with 12 to 15 home runs, give you 15 stolen bases, so good OBP. Definitely some fantasy value there. I think a lot kind of depends on, what kind of power are we getting from him. There's a big difference for me between a 10 to 12 home run second baseman and a kind of high teen second baseman. But there's definitely fantasy value, even if he isn't kind of the power hitter that he's kind of shown early on. But yeah, I like Kuechel. He was number 40 overall for me on my last update. Probably will kind of get into those kind of low to mid 30s on my next update, assuming he doesn't graduate. But yeah, he's been lights out so far. Really fun player to watch, especially for fantasy. Does a lot of things well across the board.
Now, I'm gonna throw out a comp here that if people know who my fandom is with the Red Sox, I love this guy, and I've scoffed at other guys being comped to this guy in the past. But I think if this is a very high, high percentage outcome where it's like almost like the top end outcome. If everything breaks right, like, I see a lot in this guy. Oh, I saw in the minor leagues as well. I see some similarities between Kuechel and Dustin Pedroia, it's like Pedroia was, always been a lot of contact, had that sneaky pop, but not like huge pop. He'd steal some bags for you. So I could see, like, best case scenario outcome, Pedroia type or close to it. Again, that's high price coming from a Red Sox fan who loved, like, Pedroia is one of my favorite players of all time. Like, I think every team needs a Pedroia on their team. But, I think everything breaks right for Kuechel. Like, that's some similar skills there. But, obviously, it's not a direct comp. I'm saying he's going to be Pedroia. But everything breaks right. I think that could be the area where he winds up as potentially he could be a top 5 second baseman for sure, especially with how bad this position is. I mean, even at the top, it's like, all right, Jazz Chisholm is fun but super risky. Ketel Marte, obviously, is a beast. But he's also either 32 or about to turn 32, so he's getting up there in age a little bit. Just Jackson Holliday's like, he's fine, doesn't really do much for me. So And everyone else, like, you know, obviously Christian Campbell kind of floundered after his hot start. So this position really is, yeah, it's struggling right now. So I think this position needs Keyshill to be good. I think that definitely would help. So
yeah,
but we got like Bizzana on the way soon next year, Michael Arroyo. So some help is on the way.
Yeah, I'm definitely a bit kind of assuming a bit higher on Holiday than you are. I mean, I think if I was offered Jackson Holiday for Luke Keyshill, it'd be Holiday in an instant for me. I think like realistically what Holiday has done as a 21-year-old in the majors is kind of what I would put like around Keyshill's peak at, maybe a kind of 2020 guy, better OBP than what Holiday has now. But I think Keyshill's a fun player. I do like the Pedroia comp. I'm also a Red Sox fan, and I do kind of see the similarities there a little bit. Kind of, you know, guy who didn't have the most present power coming up, but maybe a guy who, you know, along with kind of elite contact, good ratios, good OBP, can give you kind of that 15 to 18 home runs. But I do kind of think this is one of those cases where in kind of dynasty, if he is kind of being valued as a top 3 to 5 second baseman, I doubt it, very small sample size, but I would possibly take that opportunity to sell, because I think the floor, I think realistically he's a maybe Jake Cronenworth with a better average during during Cronenworth's kind of better years, as maybe a kind of fringe all-star type player, but I don't think a kind of in that kind of top 3 for me, even for second baseman quite yet, or I don't know if he'll ever get there.
That's fair, but yeah, he's definitely been fun to watch here, so we'll see if he can keep it up here rest of the season. Let's sneak in, I mean, we had several other names on the list just in case we got to them, but let's sneak in one more each here. I mean, out of that 6 we have on the sheet here, is there any one of those guys that you wanted to talk about real quick before we get out of here?
Yeah, no, I think, Noelvi Marte and Jordan Beck are fun ones, but if you want to go one, I can just do Marte and another one, that if there's another one that interests you.
I was a go difference. Yeah. So go ahead and talk about those guys real quick.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I think I really like Noelvi Marte. He's I think he kind of lost a lot of shine with the PED suspension after the kind of very good pro debut. But I mean, he's relatively quietly having a really good season. 277, 320, 482, 18.5% K rate. The walk rate it hasn't really been a big walk guy in the majors to this point. It's just 4.5%. So don't think he's ever going to be a great OBP guy, but I do see kind of a fairly safe floor here of a kind of 2020 hitter with dual eligibility who doesn't strike out a ton. So Noelvi Marte is he's a really interesting one for me. I do think that kind of the performance that he's put up so far is a lot better than kind of the name value that he has. The chase rate is a little high, so that's one thing I would like to see, but he's got some good pop, got some good speed. The contact skills are solid, 85.4 zone, 75.4 overall. Would like to see those a little bit higher, but I think Noelvi Marte is very quietly, maybe not a fantasy star, but a reliable, solid fantasy contributor who you could plug in third base or the outfield.
Yeah, people that know me know I love Marte. I mean, I've always been pretty high on Marte, and you know, I was screaming the buy low when he was out suspended, and then he came back, and the end of last year was terrible for him. Like, there's no way to slice and dice it. Last year was terrible at, you know, start to finish, suspended, and then was hitting not well whatsoever. So good time to buy low last year, but definitely that value is coming back up. I can see him being, I mean, he's probably going to lose the he'll have eligibility at third base entering next year because he's already played enough this year, but probably loses it next year because they got to keep Ryan Hayes now. But, you know, for as long as he has that eligibility at third base, I can see him sneaking up in like that top 10 to 12 range at the position. Then at outfield, maybe outfield 3 territory, not one of your top 2 guys, but all the skills have always been there. I mean, he's always been a pretty solid contact rate guy, you know, the good power, you know, decent runner as well. So it can give you a little bit of everything. So yeah. And obviously great ballpark to hit in. So I like Marte a good bit. I just wanted to throw like a shout out and throw some love to Isaac Collins, who is having like one of the better, like sneaky good rookie seasons of this season, of this 2025 year. He had another home run a couple of days ago. He's had hits in 4 of his last 5 games. And overall, it's 289, 392, 430 slash line. He's now up to, he had a home run today. Yeah, so 8 home runs, 2 in his last 5 games, 13 steals. I mean, this is a guy right under 300 average, right under a 400 OBP. 448 slug. I mean, not the biggest power guy, but you know, 40% hard hit rate, 88.5% or 88.5 mile an hour, average EV. So there's just a little bit of power there. 12% or 13% walk rate, 22.5% K rate, above average contact rates as well. You know, doesn't chase much at all. I mean, there's a solid little player here that I just did not see coming. Like, 28 years old, was never a highly ranked prospect, was not a high draft pick, ninth round guy by Colorado back in 2019. It wasn't that like a big school either. So like, this guy has never really been on the radar outside of like super, super deep formats, but now he's pretty up a solid rookie year. I'm not saying like we're out to buy him by any means, but I mean, there's a lot of decent metrics under the hood right now where he could be a high average OBP guy, gives you, you know, 10 to 12 home runs and 15 to 18 steals, something like that. Yeah, there's some value there as like an outfield five type. So, yeah, definitely some sneaky good value there for Isaac Collins. But just wanted to throw some love his way here because I don't think he's getting talked about nearly enough. I think he's right in that. It could be like him and Baldwin, maybe Burns if he gets a, you know, gets it going on the surface stats. But those might be your top two National Rookie of the Year guys this year. It's definitely could be a fun little race there between those two end of the season. But that is going to wrap us up, though. Owen, thanks so much for joining me, making your Toolshed debut. Why don't you tell people what you got going on and where they can find you?
Yeah, absolutely. It was a great episode. Thank you again for having me. Yeah, definitely agree with you there on Collins. I think he's top 3 to 5 rookie of the year right now. Yeah, you can find me at Owen_FBB on X. Always post some fantasy baseball content, kind of prospect content. Yeah, I kind of take a pride in doing a little bit of everything. So, you know, whatever your niche is, probably posted something about it. I do have my, we'll have my top 100 coming out probably next weekend. So it's definitely something to keep an eye out, some updated positional ranks after that. And then, yeah, definitely just, you know, anything fancy baseball prospects, MLB, that's kind of what I try and touch on.
Awesome. Yeah, definitely give Owen a follow. Again, it's at Owen_FBB. Check out all the stuff he's done, posting a lot on Twitter. See his name pop up every single day. So definitely go check out all of Owen's stuff. Give him a follow. And we'll be back with you again later on this week. I got a second episode for you this week, probably on Wednesday or Thursday. But until then, everyone take care.